Well, with the rainy season upon us, we can expect here in South Africa, especially, you know, rural KZN, southern KZN, we can expect a lot more lightning. Now, lightning can be very dangerous to both humans and animals, as in the in the past has caused extensive damage to buildings, loss of life. With some estimates that there are over 100 deaths in South Africa, or you know, fatalities in southern Africa related to lightning, talking to us this evening is Professor Ryan Blumenthal. The professor is a senior specialist, forensic pathologist and associate professor at the University of Pretoria's Department of Forensic Medicine. Now, the subject we are going to be talking about, which is professor's field of interest in, is the pathology of the trauma of lightning, known as keranopathology, which is basically the exotic sounding half-sister of forensic pathology. Well, without further ado, good evening, Professor Ryan Blumenthal.
Good evening, Junaid. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for joining us. Professor, tell us about the scope and nature of lightning in South Africa. Are we more prone here in South Africa to lightning strikes compared to elsewhere? Or is it pretty much the same, but, you know, it's a combination of outdoor lifestyle, people, you know, herding, agriculture, recreation also outside. And, you know, we've got better reporting compared to other places on the continent. How do we fare to the rest of the world?
Junaid, our numbers are about, we lose about 80 to 100 people a year in South Africa due to lightning. And according to the stats, I mean, it depends where you're comparing oneself to, but it's almost six times higher than the United States of America. And we're a lightning-prone country. And the thing is that all these deaths are entirely preventable. You know, this is not like your non-communicable diseases, you know, such as HIV or TB. Just by following simple rules, all these deaths can be prevented. That is my message.
Professor, you know, we'll come to those measures to be taken at the time of an electrical storm, you know, in a minute or two. But lightning itself and how lightning is formed, I mean, are there different types of lightning? And from a horizon, should one look at the different type of clouds, the cumulonimbus, the more thicker clouds, the lighter type of clouds, to identify that, you know what, there may be a lightning storm on the horizon?
Right. Well, I am a forensic pathologist, so I do autopsies on humans. But, you know, because this is my field of interest, I've had to study a little bit about lightning itself. And what's fascinating is that using the principles of forensics, we can tell you about the essence of what is lightning. So, for example, in forensics, we use a principle called Locard's exchange principle, which says that every contact leaves a trace. So we look for traces of lightning on the human body. Now, according to the electrical engineers, there's four types of lightning: positive, negative, upward, and downward. And 90% of lightning is negative downward. How we remember that is that 90% of people are negative and down. But getting back to the essence of lightning, you know, from a forensic pathology point of view, it contains, it's a multi-physics phenomenon. There's like a heat component, there's an electrical component, there's a magnetic component, there's a light component, and all these components can injure the human.
Professor Ryan, you know, the ways lightning attaches or actually affects the human or the animal body for that matter. I mean, we always under the impression that the body is a conductor, and eventually the lightning strike, of course, goes into the ground, which in essence is the, you know, is the fact of the matter. But there are many theories as to exactly what causes the death itself. Is it the shock of the impact? Is it burns? How does lightning actually affect the body of of an object, of course a human or an animal, to a point of fatality or injury?
So this started in 1993, like really looking at how lightning attaches to the body with the work of Jumbelik. And you know, I've done about 90 autopsies in my career of over 20 years on lightning fatality cases, and we are fascinated as forensic pathologists as to how lightning attaches itself to the human body. And over the years, we've discovered that there's about six ways that lightning interacts with the human body. So these are the six different mechanisms that lightning attaches. And this is very important from a lightning protection point of view. As an aside, and I'll get to this later, we've got one of the largest lightning protection conferences coming to South Africa on the from the 2nd to the 7th of October, so we need to speak about that later. But, I mean, this whole conference is about how lightning attaches to structures and humans and animals, and because we need to know how to protect, you know, humans and structures and animals. So that's why when I do a forensic death examination of a human, I mean, the entire death scene has to be examined. And it needs a multidisciplinary examination because we want to see if this was preventable or avoidable.
You know, let's talk about safety during an electrical storm, right? I mean, an electrical storm could come out of nowhere. They could, of course, be a pre-warning, and then it's expected that people take the necessary precautions. But let's assume you're out on the golf course somewhere, you're out on a beach somewhere, and you haven't got access to your technology, and here comes an electrical storm. What should a person do? There are, of course, many myths that may be attached to it, that, oh, stand under a tree, do this, do that. Wear rubber shoes or soles or something. Get in a car. That's also one, advice given by folks, because the tires are there to look after and to protect you. But what should be done in the different scenarios? One thing, of course, would be to get into a building. But let's assume you're out in the middle of nowhere, in the golf course somewhere. What does a person do to stay safe?
All right, Junaid, the first thing I need to strongly, it's my big message, is that it's mainly about prevention. You know, if you find yourself on a hill in an open thunderstorm, you've made enough bad mistakes to be in that situation. So prevention is better than cure. And you've got to know the weather patterns of your area. You have to listen to the South African Weather Service. You've got to know the enemy. I mean, this lightning, which is the enemy, will attack between 3:30 in the afternoon and 6:30 at early evening. I mean, that's the time when you're walking home or when you're hiking and you're coming into your campsite. So when thunder roars, go indoors. That is the big message for all the listeners here tonight, is give yourself sufficient time to get into a safe shelter. Now, what is a safe shelter? That is any fully enclosed metallic surface area, what we call a Faraday cage or a Gaussian surface area. Getting back to your statement about the car, it's actually not the tires. That's a myth. It's actually the fully enclosed metallic surface of the car which protects you. So we've actually seen people killed in cabriolet cars or on motorbikes, you know, which doesn't have a roof. So it's the fully enclosed metallic surface area that you want to find, which is the safest place to be in an electrical thunderstorm. So tents offer no protection. You've got to give yourself enough time. Try and get inside a fully enclosed metallic surface area. Get under a bridge. Look for an overpass. The best place, if you're tenting, is in your car for the metallic surface area reasons. But prevention is better than cure.
You know, Professor, when it comes to a structure itself, now you have, homes or farmhouses that have been built back in the day or new constructions in a lightning-prone area. What would be considered an ideal lightning-safe type of a structure? Granted, there probably are no, structures that are absolutely safe from an electrical event. But, ones that are considered to be more safer in the long term.
Well, Junaid, that is what this conference is about. So it's called RCLP, the International Conference of Lightning Protection. It's been going for about 50 years. We've got people from 48 countries coming to South African soils. These are multidisciplinary people. We're talking, photovoltaic vault people, mining people, airline people. I mean, multidisciplinary. And we are all going to be discussing lightning protection of structures, humans, and animals. You know, it's multidisciplinary. We have to speak a common language. And this takes years of study, because you can imagine if you have a mine and a spark goes down, I mean, this can cause an explosion of the mine. Or if there's, for example, a weapons depot and it gets struck by lightning, this whole thing will explode. So lightning affects all of us on Earth, and it's a totally anonymous and random killer, and we have to know how to protect ourselves. And this is actually the realm of the electrical engineer. I think they are the owners of the protection side of things. And I think it's important to say that if you do get lightning protection for your property or your structure, you need to see that it is ULPA accredited. This is the Earth Lightning Protection Association. So just see that your person who comes to do your lightning rod installation, etc., is ALPA accredited. You don't want some fly-by-night person coming to install that conductor. They must be ALPA accredited, ELPA. That's a big message.
Finally, Professor Ryan, when a person is struck, unfortunately, by lightning, and of course, one thing is that where you have a fatality, there's of course nothing you could do. But let's assume a person has now been injured. How does a person offer first response, first care? Is that person still capable of discharging a shock from their own body to a person who may attempt to resuscitate them? What are the do's and don'ts of a lightning victim, and how to work in the best interest of a person who is visibly injured from a lightning strike?
Well, 5 minutes before this interview started, I was actually contacted from Britain. Because apparently a British woman is in a coma now after having been struck by lightning on a Croatian holiday. Her name is Daniela Di Mumbro, a 48-year-old female, and she was revived by paramedics after she was struck, and her heart stopped for 30 minutes. Your viewers can go in and look this up on the web. They just have to type in British woman in coma after being struck by lightning on Croatian holiday. I mean, I literally was consulted on this matter 5 minutes before today's interview. And, I mean, this highlights the reality of this question. I mean, what do you do, if you're outdoors and someone gets struck? So critical, I think, the message here is that we all, South Africans, need to know basic first aid. This, I think, should be taught in schools. And also, I think South Africa needs like a 911 system, like they have in the States, etc. But critical is to act very quickly. Even if they look dead, there's reverse triage. So what I mean by this is, usually, like, you don't go to the deadest looking person first in medicine. But with lightning, you can go to the deadest looking person first. And they have been known to revive. So, cardiopulmonary resuscitation needs to be done immediately on this person. And they have been known to come back to life. So I would suggest that basic CPR be learnt in schools in South Africa. This is so important, and it would save so many lives.
Professor Ryan Blumenthal, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Islam International with this absolutely useful and beneficial conversation. And I trust it'll be well received by many of our listeners out there. And thank you for your time, Professor.
It's such an honor to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me.